Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bears going to go for it on fourth down and five. They got a trio to the right, single to the left. That's Robinson one-on-one. Corner in his face, on the numbers. Mooney now in motion to the left side. He'll go beyond the numbers. Montgomery to the left of Mitchell Trubisky. Now Mooney runs inside. Quick snap, throw. Robinson makes the catch. Trubisky completes it, and Robinson spun down to the 28-yard line of Jacksonville to first down. Huge first down on fourth and five.
Yeah, we knew, in that position right there, it's a longer, whether you're in the punt or whether you're in the go for it and the field goal. And there's just so many things that go into it. And I think also it shows confidence in your players making plays at crucial times. And our guys did that. And that's important. You know, you have guys that understand that you're going to put the ball in their hands. And that was definitely a turning point in my opinion, to be able to do that. And that's real, and it's a credit to the players.
We're back with more of the Prop Swap postgame show with Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears.
Welcome back, everybody. That, of course, Matt Nagy. Prior to that, the highlights from our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 on your AM dial, 105.9 on your FM dial. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, Mark Grody on the call. We appreciate all of their help with our highlight cuts. Patrick, we are going to get back to the phone lines. Just a real quick note before we do. We were talking in the last segment about the impact that Jimmy Graham and the Bears tight ends have made this year. Last year, the Bears had six tight ends on the roster who got playing time. Jimmy Graham has now surpassed all six of them combined in catches, yards, and last year the group of six had two touchdowns. Jimmy Graham has eight. So if anyone doubts that Graham has made a contribution, he obviously has made a difference with this football team this year. Let's get to Joe in Evanston, who's been waiting for a little while. Joe, I'm sorry to keep you on hold. Appreciate you calling. Hope Christmas was great to you, and hope you're having a good day.
Oh, yeah. It's been terrific, and your program, it makes it even better.
Thank you.
Two decision makings that Trubisky needs help with. With the liberal laws they have for throwing the ball away, he holds on. Many of the sacks that he's suffered, it's because he's held on to the ball too long. And the other area where he seems to have poor decision-making is the double and triple coverage in end zones that he likes to throw the ball to. Other than that, it was terrific.
Okay. Joe, thank you for the call. I have to be honest, he only got sacked once today. I'd have to look back on that. It is pretty common for younger quarterbacks especially to take sacks because they hold the ball too long. But, you know, Pat, I haven't noticed as much of that. I know the rap on Mitch earlier, you know, prior to this year, was that he came out of the pocket too soon and didn't stay in the pocket long enough. The coaches were trying to keep him there. But I'm certainly not arguing Joe's point. It's something we got to take a look at.
Yeah, but I think he looks – it's funny that we get that call because I've just got into a Twitter discussion during the break there with somebody calling me out for saying I bang on Mitch too much about his two bad throws per game or whatever. But I try to break it down like a coach would, like what he would hear in the meetings. You know, what they're going to say, this is a bad throw, this is why. We can't do this, this is because, this is why. You know, I think one of the positives he has done is he's used his legs getting out of the pocket and then not trying to force throws. Get the little four-yard gain, you know, the little scramble here and there where it's second and six. And I'm sure that's being preached and coached to him, this keep these chains moving. Don't try to force something in there that is not there. And I think that's one area he has gotten better with, even when he is asked just to process information. When it's not there, don't force it. Take it, use your legs, get a couple yards. Let's live for the next down and not make it second and 10. Let's make it second and shorter, second and 8, second and 6, second and 5, or whatever. And if not, get a first down if you can. But those are some things that I've seen positive with him. But it's still, it drives me absolutely crazy that he makes just one, it seems like every game, Hub, one catastrophic decision. You know, whether it's an interception, you know, just something that just baffles you that I think it was last year or earlier this year where he threw the ball away on fourth down, threw it out of bounds, and he gave his team a chance late in the game. So little things like that that just baffle me that he hasn't gotten better at, that you've got to clean those things, those game management things up in your fourth year.
You know, it's interesting. As we're talking about Mitch, I look up at the screen, and there is Leonard Floyd getting his 8th sack of the season. That is a new career best for him. Now, it was a gift. I mean, he was basically just spying Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson ran right into him. But Leonard Floyd playing well for the Los Angeles Rams right now. Happy for him because Leonard's a good kid. It didn't work out. A good young man, I should say. It didn't work out in Chicago, but glad to hear or see, I guess I should say, that things are going well right now for him with the Rams in Los Angeles. We're going to go to Fairbury and welcome Adam into the show. Adam, how you doing?
Not bad. It's an honor to talk to you guys. I've been a lifelong Bears fan. Like every other Bears fan, 3 weeks ago, I was ready to just clean house and start over. But now Mitch is playing good ball, and Nagy's put his ego aside and gave up play calling. And, you know, Pace has had some, definitely some missed opportunities, but he's also hit on some. And I just think as long as they don't go out next week and fall on their face to the Packers, you got to give them all another shot at this thing because they're starting to come around, it seems like.
Well, Adam, yeah, thank you for the phone call. You know, Pat, honestly, at this point, and again, I'm not going to offer an opinion to the extent that anybody wants to hear it or write about it until we know where the season ends. But based on what's happened the last 3 weeks, I'd say I'm reasonably sure right now nobody's getting fired. I just don't think it's going to happen at this point.
It just amazes me, Hub, that the complete 180 that has taken place in the last 3 weeks. I mean, mm-hmm. that final game after the 6-game losing streak, I for sure thought everybody was gone. I for sure thought maybe even the McCaskies might fire their head coach for the first time ever as the season was going on. It was just, it felt that bad. It didn't seem like it was correctable. And then they went out and they changed the O-line. They changed the offense. Unfortunately, the defense is playing worse, but yeah, this is I'm going to take your way. I don't want to wait till the end of the season to truly evaluate it all, but it does feel that way now that and it's just amazing that I think most Bears fans that thought that everybody should be fired after that 6-game losing streak is now seeing the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit as well.
Yeah, and I don't even need to look at the text line right now to know what's happening. No, guys, I'm not defending anybody. I'm not even offering an opinion. I'm doing my job and telling you that based on my sources, the people I talk to, and having done this for a few years and knowing how this works with this organization, my gut is telling me at this point there aren't going to be any dramatic changes at the end of the year. I think there almost has to be at least an effort to see what it would take to bring Mitch back just because there isn't going to be a better answer out there for next year. We will see how that all plays out. But I will offer one opinion. I don't know at this point where I'm at exactly on the front office and Ryan and his staff. Matt Nagy does not deserve to be fired. He is not a perfect football coach. There's no question about that. But he's a young football coach who is learning, and he's done the most important thing. He has kept his team playing every week and now winning every week. He has a winning record through 3 years. He is one game away from going to the playoffs for the second time in 3 years. Yeah, he does some things that are maddening, Pat, and he makes some mistakes. But you know, who's perfect? I mean, he's a young football coach who has done some good and some bad, but I think is showing enough that I don't know why you would fire him if you're the Bears. I think at least one more year and hopefully a lot more than that if he takes advantage of it.
Yeah, and I agree with that because – just the improvement he's made himself as a coach, that to be able to step away, that's got to be hard to give up play calling duties. You know, I've said it many times that I think coaches have bigger egos than players, and people think I'm crazy when I say that, but we had one on the pregame show today, Mike Tice, who's got a pretty big ego. You know that as well. But, they do, and that's just part of it, because they believe in their system. They believe they can get players to fit their system, and they believe in themselves. And that's also what makes them great, but to me can also hurt them. And for Matt Nagy to step away and say, all right, I'm going to give my offense up. I'm going to let them change my offense. I'm going to attempt to change my offense with Bill Lazor and the rest of the offensive staff. That says a lot. And then the other part is, and I've said it numerous times, the way the guys are still playing, the way they talk about them, the way they believe in them, and just as important, the way they like each other. They believe in each other. They're pulling for each other. You see the energy on the field, and that has a lot to do with a head coach. And I think you saw that today with Jacksonville. They knew they're out of it. They're undermanned as well. But that the highlight we had there of Pierce running for the touchdown where he wasn't even touched, that's a team that just doesn't care. And that's you saw two different teams out there, and that's a credit to Matt Nagy and what he's got going on right now after that six-game losing streak.
All right, let's get up to Janesville, Wisconsin, and welcome Jake into the show. Jake, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Hub?
Good, thank you.
So my question is kind of for both of you. First of all, I just want to thank you guys for a great show. And, Hub, I think that your realistic wisdom is always awesome.
Thank you.
Because you call it like it is. You know, I think that when we started off a month ago, to piggyback on the last caller, you certainly were kind of in this downward spiral to suggest we didn't really have answers, right? We just wanted to start over. And at least we have optimism, right? We have some realistic optimism that says, you know, hey, there's talent on this team, obviously, and thank goodness the coaching staff's been able to find it. I think Mitchell Trubisky has proven at least he's a selfless leader. And when's the last time we had a quarterback like that in this town, right? And it's playing dividends, I think. Having said that, I kind of saw the defense have quite the attitude today. I mean, they were just had this smack-talking. They were not bashful at all in displaying it. But they weren't making the plays to back it up. And I just kind of thought, you know what? Show up, make the plays, maybe have the attitude afterwards. And I just wonder if you kind of saw that. I've seen it before this year, and I kind of feel like that was something that played into it a little bit, at least in the beginning of the half. I wanted to hear your thoughts on that. Thanks, guys, for a great show.
Well, Jake, thank you for the phone call. I'm going to have to defer to Patrick on this one because I don't really – I mean, generally, as I'm watching the game, as soon as the play is over, I'm rewinding to try and get a second look at it real fast before the next one, and I'm not paying much attention to what's going on between the players. I'm not saying you're not 100% correct. I just didn't notice it because it's not something I really look for. When I'm going to watch this now four or five more times for tomorrow's report card, and I'll look for it then, but you know, Pat, I guess I just didn't really notice it, but again, wasn't looking for it, so I don't know.
There was one play to me that stood out, and it was when Akeem Hicks started banging his chest and got into mm-hmm. the guard's face after a run. And Akeem's that guy, and it was at a point, too, Hub, where I think there was a little lull with that defense, and he took it upon himself to try to bring that energy. I like that. I like when a defense plays with an edge and an arrogance. You know, the Brian Urlacher-led defense with Lance Briggs and those guys, they played with an arrogance. They weren't as chippy as, you know, late hits and things like that. They were actually different. They were guys that Urlacher or Briggs would hit somebody really hard and just start laughing at them. And that, to me, just that I didn't know how they did that, but that's how they did it. They had fun by beating up on guys. But it seems like the caller's saying, this defense has a little bit of an edge. They're a little more chippy, and that's their personality. I'm okay with it. Once they find their personality and they can play with it, go for it. But if you are struggling, I still want you to play with an edge. And I think that's why Akeem Hicks kind of beat his chest and started screaming. And he's kind of telling the rest of his guys, let's go. You know, I just dominated my guy in front of me. I need you to follow suit. We need to pick up our energy. And I kind of like that.
Well, and you know what's funny about that, now that I think about it? That was the one play I did notice. And my reaction to it was, that's kind of the first time I've seen Akeem today. You know?
Yeah, no, well, yeah.
And I think was part of it. I think he was a little frustrated. There's no way, in my estimation, that he's 100% healthy. A guy that big, you know, dings a hamstring like that. And it was bad enough that he immediately left the field. There was no chance of him coming back. It was only 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, I guess. And so I don't think he's 100%. hopefully he can be in time for next Sunday. But you're right. I mean, that's your leader leading. You know, that was letting everybody know. I don't care who these guys are. We still got to, we got to dominate the field.
Sure, and he was on the injury report this week as well with an ankle, correct?
Yeah.
You're right. We talked about it earlier, too. I think, three of the four up front look like they're banged up. They're just not, Khalil Mack doesn't look like he has that quick twitch he's had maybe the last couple weeks. He just didn't look as, I wouldn't call him game-changing, but they seem like they were able to single block him a little bit more, and they just didn't make the splash plays that you need to see from those front four. And that's, with Blau Nichols even playing better in the last couple of weeks, I missed that interception, unfortunately, for him. But they just didn't have that little extra stuff up front. It's just disappointing they didn't get a sack with the defensive line.
It is time again for the prop swap sale of the week. Now, a gambler made a three-leg parlay, guys. Got to win all three of them. He bet the L.A. Dodgers to win the World Series. That's one in the bank. He took the Lakers to win the finals. That's two in the bank. And now he has Clemson to win the college football championship. He bet $500 to potentially pay $31,000 if Clemson comes home and makes him 3 for 3. He sold it this week on PropSwap for $9,000. So let's do the math here. The seller turns $500 into $9,000, no questions asked. He is a huge winner already. The buyer now has a chance to win $31,000 on a $9,000 ticket. That just doesn't happen often around the NFL. If he gets it, everybody wins. It's a true win-win. Come join us. Check out PropSwap.com right now or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. We need to take a very quick commercial break here. When we get back, the phone number, 312-644-6767. We're taking your calls right here on the PropSwap postgame show at 670 The Score.
Snap from center, play fake, Mitch gonna throw, pressure coming from behind, loves it, down the left side, up in the air, snag, touchdown, Jimmy Graham, touchdown Bears, falling backwards, makes the grab, Bears are starting to pound the Jacksonville Jaguars.
We're back with more of the Prop Swap postgame show with Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears.
Our thanks to Jeff and Tom and our friends at our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial for the highlight calls. Pat, the one disappointing thing about the broadcast, you have any idea what Graham was doing when he went in the tunnel after that catch? He took the ball in the tunnel. They didn't show anything. Then he came back out of the tunnel and spiked it. I just am curious what was going on there, but I guess you were watching what I was watching, so there's no way to know.
I have no idea. I know I've seen some cool plays in Soldier Field where guys run up the tunnel or even catch a ball in the south end zone, right? Out catching at the Monday night game. The guy dove into the tunnel to catch the field goal. I don't know what he was doing. I guess going into the tunnel is kind of cool. I don't know.
Hey, real quick, I tweeted this. I don't ever critique broadcasters one way or the other because I do it and don't want people doing it to me, but every once in a while there's a cast that just kind of makes me nuts. Did Rich Gannon just seem way off his game today, or was that just me? There was a lot of stuff that he had names wrong, he had teams wrong, some of the obvious stuff, and Rich is usually pretty good. I don't know, again, maybe it was just me. Did you notice anything like that?
A little bit, yeah. Maybe he was just uninterested knowing it was a boring game for him to call. But I tell you what, the one thing I did listen to and I was shocked to hear him say it was when Mitch threw that interception. He said kind of an interception you throw in high school. There were some points where he was very pointed in his criticisms of Mitch, and I thought that was very interesting. And I do like when quarterbacks like him or any other quarterbacks are announcing games that can give you kind of an insight to what they see and what they're – think Mitch is thinking in some of those decisions and throws he makes. But there were a couple mistakes there, but maybe they're packing it up like the Jaguars are with 2 weeks to go.
It could be. Let us know what you think. The phone number 312-644-6767. Phil out in Arlington Heights is up next. Phil, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing real well, guys. Thanks for having me on. So I just got a couple of quick points. I think the biggest thing these past few weeks is the O-line. I think that's the heartbeat of any team. If you can't block for your quarterback and if you can't block for the run, I think it just disheartens the whole team. and the O-line staff need credit for the turnaround. Second thing, the fact that Nagy has kept the team together. Most teams usually collapse, football, basketball, baseball, whatever. I think he needs credit for keeping them believing. Third thing, and this is the question, we have to re-sign Mitch because I think there are, you know, a few levels of quarterbacks that are not going to be traded and nobody's going to give them up. You know, the Russell Wilsons, the Pat Mahomes, and then you got the Bradys and the Rodgers. Nobody's giving them up. And I think Mitch is close to the top of the next level and there is nobody else out there. I think we need to re-sign him. So I'll hang up and think, hear what you guys have to say about that.
Phil, thank you for the phone call. Pat, I'll let you go first on this one.
Yeah, I agree with the second two, but I do want to give credit to Juan Castillo because at the beginning of the year, I was hard on him. I didn't think he was doing a good job with the guys. Obviously, I'm a little biased being a Harry Hiestand guy, and I didn't want to see him go, and I was kind of being a little more critical watching tape and watching the guys, but I think a little bit had to do with that, just the talent he was working with. But he's done a really nice job with this change in offensive philosophy and these play callings and schemes of getting these guys to perform well. And I think a lot has to do with Sam Mustipher and Alex Barr stepping in and upping the game. So kudos to Juan Castillo and Dominic Raiola, his assistant, of helping these guys and correcting something that was a weakness earlier in the year in Matt Nagy's system and making it, you know, almost a strength because, you know, you're seeing them run the ball. They're protecting better. So they've done a nice job. Juan Castillo and Dominic Raiola have done a really nice job with those guys.
Yeah, Phil, as far as Mitch, I think you may be overranking him a little bit, putting him at the top of the next group after those franchise quarterbacks, but I think your point is correct. We've talked about this on and off the last few weeks. There is no better help coming in veteran free agency. When you look at the quarterbacks who are going to be available, there's going to be a lot of cap casualties, but not at quarterback. You don't have cap casualties at quarterback. And you may very well be able to draft a good one, but not someone who's going to be better than Mitch or Nick Foles next year on opening day, probably not by midseason or late in the year. And I'm a little concerned and frustrated about where this defense is at right now. But as we look at the future, you know, you can assume with the talent they have, the window should be open for another year. But it's not 2018 anymore. We're not talking about the next 3 or 4 years. And so you want to do everything you can to try and legitimately contend next year with where you're at right now. And your best option to do that could very well be bringing Mitch Trubisky back. And I know that sounds crazy to a lot of people who were ready to ride him out of town on a rail a few weeks ago. But as long as they will stay committed to what they're doing with him right now and let him continue to improve at this, I think you got to try and do a one-year deal. You guarantee him as much as 10, 11, 12 million, which is a lot on a one-year deal, but that's what it's going to take. You know, maybe you do a two-year deal and you guarantee 12 or 13 million, but now the annual becomes a little less painful. The question, Pat, is what is the market going to be for Mitch? Who else is going to be out there looking at him? Everybody's going to have cap issues, but there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, and I don't think the Bears are going to be the only one with an interest in Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, right. Let's talk about this real quick. I've talked to Greg Gabriel a little bit about this, of how a GM looks at position groups in as far as cap. So quarterback, what is Nick Foles' cap hit next year? And then let's say if he's to get, Mitch Trubisky is to get $12 million, you know, how does that compare to other teams and how much they're giving their quarterbacks? You know, as far as being able to take that big piece of pie and spread it around the rest of your team and fill out your roster with some talent. I'm guessing those numbers, if that's a 12 million to 15 million dollar one-year contract, spreading that between Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky, I don't think that's too big of a piece of pie, is it, for the quarterback position compared to some of these other contracts?
No, the Nick Foles pain was this year, guys.
Yeah,
Nick Foles'
right?
contract after this year isn't that bad, yeah. And by the way, Foles can opt out. I can't imagine he will. I don't know why he would, because he's not going to get a better free agent offer somewhere else. But no, if you were to guarantee Mitch, let's say, split the difference, say he got $11 million next year, I think Foles is set to make $7 or $8 million. That's less than one starting quarterback. You know,
right.
that's not that horrible.
Yeah.
The cap hit's going to be a little bit more because you deferred some of the Foles cap hit. But no, that would not put them in a difficult situation at all. the bigger question is going to be what are they competing with? You know, what kind of other offers is Mitch going to get? And I'd just be guessing at that right now. Couldn't begin to tell you. So I don't know if I'm reading the screen right, Mike, but it says Arcade is in Medina. If Arcade, if I have your name wrong, please forgive me. But thank you for joining us, and hope that the holidays have been good to you so far.
Well, Hub, it is a pleasure to talk to you again. You are the best.
Thank you.
I must say that I agree totally with you that Mitch has value if used properly. It took, 2.5 years for Mitch to be used properly. When the Pace hired Nagy, Nagy had to say, well, you know, I can make Mitch a good quarterback. Well, it took 2.5 years and probably Pace, I guarantee you, Pace and Nagy sat down and said after the 66-game losing streak that our butts are on the line, you have to call the game plan towards Mitch's strengths. Otherwise, we're both gone. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Arcade, I mean, I'd say it's a possibility, but I don't know whether Matt figured it out on his own or him and Ryan sat down. I think, Pat, that when Ryan Pace seized on Matt Nagy as his next head coach, it's because Matt convinced him that he could make Mitch all he needed to be in Matt's offense. I mean, it wasn't with the idea that he's a one-trick pony, you got to come here and design an offense around him. They figured out, early in his third season or halfway into his third season that, no, he's not going to run Matt's offense, or at least not now. I don't know, maybe that happens down the road. I doubt it from what we've seen. And so they made the transition they had to make. What meetings took place or how it happened, I'd only be guessing.
My guess would be that the coaches got together and said, hey, man, we got to figure out a way to get this right because I don't want to sell my house. Mm-hmm. My wife doesn't want to move. I don't want to move my kids out of here. And I'm sure that probably happened over a couple beers. Maybe some of the coaches talked about that. But I was just sitting here thinking about, it's going to make Matt Nagy look even like a better coach if he can make Mitch ultra successful in this offense that we see now. They can make him really good and make him almost if you can get him to a Pro Bowl level, if you can get him to a point, because on third and longs, you're going to have to sometimes sit back and have to read a defense. He hasn't shown that he can do that yet on a consistent basis, but I think for sure they sat back there and said, listen, we got to do something or else, if we go lose 10 in a row, we're definitely out of here. We got to figure out a way to stay here.
All righty, Tom, Tilly, you guys are next. Hang on for just a moment for us, if you will. We've got to take a quick commercial break here. When we get back, more of your phone calls at 312-644-6767 on the Prop Swap postgame show presented by PNC Bank right here on The Score.
Shotgun for Glennon. Bears at the line of scrimmage. The safeties are back deep in the corners. Are off. The snap is back. Glennon rifles it over the middle, and it's near. It is intercepted on the reflection, and the deflected ball goes into the hands of Roquan Smith, and they're inside the 25-yard line. He actually fumbled it for a second again, but Roquan Smith on the deflection.
Was it a deflection from Khalil?
Don't know. They're in the shadows. It's hard to see from our vantage point, but maybe Danny. Deflected by Danny Trevathan.
Yes.
Quick reaction by Roquan Smith running with the ball. And the Bears have turned over. Mike Glennon again.
We're back with more of the Prop Swap postgame show with Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears.
Welcome back, everybody. So good to be with you. Pat and I have another 15, 20 minutes of taking your calls. We will then hand it off for the post-game show with Big Ann, Anthony Heron, and Olin Kreutz. Get you up to date real quick on scores around the NFL. They're in the third period, about halfway through. Chargers up 13-3 on the Broncos. The Panthers are handing it to Washington 20-3 in Washington. That's with just 7 minutes left in the third period. We've got the Cowboys up 20-17 on the Eagles at halftime. The big one in the NFC, the Rams and Seahawks are all tied at 6 apiece. games earlier today. The Jets win again. They knock off the Browns 23-16. So the Jacksonville Jaguars have now clinched the number one overall pick in the draft. That will be Trevor Lawrence. Ravens knock off the Giants 27-13. Steelers fall down 21-7 to the Colts and come all the way back for a 28-24 victory to halt their three-game losing streak. The Colts at 10-5 are now on the outside looking in at the playoffs at the 10-5 Ravens, the 10-5 Browns, and the 10-5 Miami Dolphins. We'll see what happens there next week. The Bengals knock off the Texans in Houston, 37-31. You know, the Bears 41-17 winners over the Jaguars. And the Chiefs barely get by the Falcons in Kansas City, 17-14. But the Chiefs are winners again. They will be the number one seed in the AFC. Pat, let's get back to the phone lines where Andrew in Joliet. Oh, Andrew dropped. So it looks like it is now Denny in Oak Lawn. Denny, thank you for calling. How you doing?
Hey, Hub. Very good. Thanks for having me. A couple things. First of all, just wanted to agree with you fully about Gannon phoning it in. I thought that narrative of just kind of pouncing on Trubisky for making a bad decision while glazing other quarterbacks. Bad decisions just gets old and weak, and it seemed like he phoned it in. So good call on that. But the reason I wanted to call was actually Eddie Jackson. A couple of years ago, I called in just raving about this guy. I fell in love with him. His range was amazing, and he would get physical, and he could make tackles. This year, I've seen him just standing flat-footed often. And at the end of the play, he's not involved. He's standing there flat-footed once again, rather than lowering his shoulders and really making some tackles and making some plays, especially against Detroit. That was embarrassing. I thought he should have been benched. Am I the only guy seeing this, or does it seem like he's resting on his laurels?
Danny, a couple things real quick. I had no problem with Rich Gannon going after Mitch's decision on the interception. I thought his broadcast overall was kind of shaky, but I had no issue with that. He was absolutely right. Mitch made a terrible decision. Mm-hmm. Mitch said it himself. And as far as Eddie Jackson, Pat, I don't ever remember him being particularly physical. He's a ball hawk, makes a lot of big plays, was the takeaway king in 2018. He has not had a good year, but I wouldn't go as far as Denny just did and say I see him standing flat-footed and not doing anything. He's not making enough plays, and he was a little more aggressive today, actually. I noticed that early on. But, yeah, he got paid. I don't know if he's the highest paid safety, maybe on an annual average basis. I don't think he's got the most money in his deal. But he got the huge deal that everybody plays for after their first contract. I'm not saying he's not trying, but we've seen it happen before. Sometimes it takes a year for players to adjust to that big deal and get back to the level they were at. Whatever it is, though, he clearly is not the player this year that he was in his first 3 years in the league.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's a down year for him, and players have down years. It hasn't been poor, but by his standards, which he set himself, it's been a down year. And this is one where you got to do some soul searching. If your stats aren't there, your production's not there of what you've done in the past, maybe look back at your year and figure out, did I do something different? Be honest with yourself. Did I slack off here? Something's going on outside of Hallis Hall that he's dealing with that we don't know. So there could be some personal stuff, but say there isn't, you have to internally look at yourself and figure out what you have to do to get back to that level. Cause the end of the year meetings, whenever they happen, if they're after next week or, after the, playoffs, you sit down with your position coaches and they kind of give you a review of your year. And I'm guessing these coaches are going to be pretty honest. They will not be happy with what he put out there from what he's put out in the past. And he deserves to be critiqued a little bit because we've seen who he can be and how he can play and how he can be that ball hawk, and he hasn't been that player. So I think the criticism right now is warranted. But as a player, you look inside and say, hey, what can I do to get back to that level that I was playing at in years prior?
Let's go west a little bit to Nebraska and welcome Roger into the show. Roger, how you doing today?
Hey, great, Hub. A longtime fan of yours. I remember your name on the publications back in the 80s, but I've spent my life as a Bear fan in Nebraska. So thanks for all you do. I was going to check in on the tiebreaker stuff, and I'm going by the ESPN playoff machine, so I don't have all the particulars. But as near as I can tell, if Seattle wins today and next week, the Packers are going to have to beat the Bears to get the number one seed, because if they end up tying, Seattle will get the nod. I know you went over that earlier in terms of the conference record, but whatever the next level down is, Seattle would get that over them. And if it's a three-way tie, the Saints get it, even though they lost to the Packers. And then one other playoff nerd thing, the Bears could still get the fifth seed if the Rams lose out, and it's a three-way tie between the Cardinals, Rams, and Bears. And I don't know how that works, but if you plug it in, it's got the Bears at the five seed and the Rams at six. So
yeah,
there's my nerding out on the playoffs.
Well, thank you, Roger. It is helpful. I know that what happens in the event of a three-way tie for the number one seed, or a three-way tie, between the Bears, the Cardinals, and the Rams, and the number one seed, it will go to common opponents. If it's the Saints, the Packers, and the Seahawks, I am unclear how the Seahawks win a tiebreaker over the Packers. I'm not disputing your point at all. It's just there's too much up in the air. I know that if the Packers were to lose tonight and next week, then the Seahawks could win it outright. So if the Packers win tonight and lose next week, then they would fall to the same conference record as Seattle, and I believe that would go to common opponents as well. So the one that's a bit of a mystery to me is how the Bears can win a tiebreaker over the Rams, even in that three-way scenario. But again, now you're going to be common opponents, so I'm assuming you're correct. There's just so much out there, guys, that it's tough to sort out. We'll get the official word from the NFL, if not tomorrow, Tuesday morning at the latest. We'll have plenty of time getting ready for next Sunday to know. First thing is to see what happens tonight with the Packers and the Titans. It looks like, I don't know if we have anyone else on the phone, Pat, so maybe we can take a couple minutes before we hand it off to the guys, to Anthony and Olin. You know, looking at that game tonight, the Packers clearly want to win tonight. I mean, that makes all of their options much easier and better for them. And what I think could be interesting about that is, I don't know what the total is on this game, but these are the two of the highest scoring teams in the NFL. Believe it or not, the Tennessee Titans are the highest scoring team in football, and they do it on the ground. They do it with Derrick Henry, and that is something that the Packers defense has had no answer to for 3-4 years now, no better this year than in prior years. But the flip side is the Tennessee defense is pretty awful too, and the Packers should put up a bunch of points tonight.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I guess the weather, just looking through Twitter, it looks like it's all snow up there now, and I was reading it that it's possibly going to end and turn into fog or whatever. So I don't know if the weather will have a true effect on either team. I know Aaron Rodgers, he can perform in anything, but that's the one thing I'm interested to see, Hub. You mentioned it, is that Titans offense against that Packers defense, because it's also a similar offense that the Bears are running now. So maybe the Bears coaches will get something on tape here of seeing how they run this play-action boot scheme and wide zone stuff with Derrick Henry and Tannehill. So this, to me, as a scout, as an analyst, as a fan or whatever, it's going to be interesting to watch to see how the Packers defense plays against this Titans offense. And I want to see this Packers defense, you know, if they can stop the Bears offense next week, but also the offense for the Packers going against the Bears defense next week. The Bears defense has to step up. I think that's the biggest key. I think we've seen the improvement in the offense, but the defense has to get the pass rush going. Continue with this takeaways. I think one commentator, I think maybe it was Romo, said the picks come in bunches, and they got a couple today, and hopefully they can keep it going, and it rolls into this next week.
Yeah, nothing is guaranteed, but the one thing I'll say with some certainty is regardless of how improved the offense is, I don't see the Bears winning a shootout with the Packers. The defense is going to have to be a major contributor for the Bears to beat the Packers. Yeah. And they can be. We know that. So I'm not writing it off. I'm just saying that's the formula for success. We do have one more caller. We're going to let Kevin put a cap on the show today from out in the western suburbs. Kevin, welcome. What can we do for you today?
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call at the last minute. You know, I can prove this because I said it on my Twitter. You know, I said Parkey was going to cost us in the playoffs 2 years ago, but I think this kid Santos, I think he could win a game for us.
Well, he's the hottest kicker in the NFL right now. I'll tell you that, Kevin. 24 consecutive field goals. Did miss the extra point last week, but that's going to happen. And yeah, I mean, you got to feel pretty good about that. Distance doesn't seem to matter to him, Pat. The whole exercise, if you will, is going well. Patrick Scales doing a nice job. Patrick O'Donnell, another thing we don't talk about, he's become an outstanding holder. You know, you rarely see a misstep there. But this is a good time of the year to have a hot kicker, the hottest kicker in the NFL.
No, and it gives your play caller confidence. You know, when you get into that situation where, you know, before where they were maybe taking shots or taking chances, when they got down to the 35, 32-yard line, 30-yard line, saying, oh, no, we got a kicker that just can't make a kick. And it might change your play calls a little bit. It just changes your confidence within the team. And he is just stroking it pure. You know, you can judge a kicker the way he's kicking. Is he missing? Like, if you watch Robbie the other night, he was missing everything right. What does he do on the last kick? He pulled the heck out of it. So he tried to overcorrect. You watch Cairo right now, everything is right down the middle third of the goalpost. He's just stroking it clean. And you're right about Pat Scales and Pat O'Donnell. That operation has to work well all together, and they've got it going right now. So it's he makes you confident. He makes you very confident, and I think might change some play calls too, and make those guys a lot more comfortable as well.
Pat, it's been fun. I know the whole next week is going to be a ton of fun. You can get an hour with Patrick Manley and Dan Bernstein tomorrow morning at 10. You can get another one with myself and Dan Bernstein tomorrow morning at 11. It is a Bears Victory Monday here at The Score. Started with Mully and Haw from 5 to 9, then Bernsey from 9 to noon, Lawrence Holmes from noon to 2, and the Danny Parkin Show from 2 to 6. I'm sure we'll be talking almost all Bears all day. We want to thank everybody for joining us both on our Bet River Sportsbook pregame show this morning and the Prop Swap postgame show presented by PNC Bank. Mike Rankin, our producer engineer this afternoon. Mike, outstanding job as always. Thank you so much for, I don't know if you made us look good, but whatever we did, it's thanks to you, not us. We're just here talking. So thanks much to Mike Rankin. And most of all, thanks to the best sports fans in the world, Chicago sports fans, Bears fans. You guys are the best. It's all on, guys. Next Sunday, the Green Bay Packers for a trip to the playoffs. We're going to have it all for you right here at 670 The Score. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll be talking at you all week long. Take care, everybody. Have a good night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.